Hello and welcome to a Brave Space podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Glasgow. And of course, we are here with the wonderful writer, Dr. Catherine Meeks.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am very well. How are you?
I am doing marvelous, especially because I know that your new book is coming out.
Yes.
So the book, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys don't know, the book is called The Night is Long, But Light Comes in the Morning, Meditations on Racial Healing by Dr. Catherine Meeks. Dr. Meeks, tell us a little bit about this book of meditations.
Well, it's designed to address some of the many issues that we have to engage in around racial healing. And it's called the Book of Meditations, though it's not done in the tradition of, you know, prayers and psalms. It's issues that are being addressed and questions and reflections that are included in those meditations to get people to kind of do some reflective work around those issues. So things such as critical race theory and the difference between having an ally and somebody being a pilgrim on the journey toward healing with you. These are the kinds of issues that these meditations address. And these are things that we don't talk about a lot in terms of the whole process of dealing with dismantling racism. And I thought they needed to be talked about and need to be talked about in this kind of context. There are 48 of them. And they're divided into, none of them are more than 5 pages long. And so they lend themselves to reading them, you know, sporadically or all at once or with a group or whatever. But the main thing is to get people thinking about these issues that really mitigate against us being able to create sustainable dismantling of systemic racism.
It sounds like this book was created with a lot of intention. Dr. Meeks, I know you've been doing this work for over 5 decades now, and not just the work in the community, but as you mentioned, the introspective work, asking yourself one of the questions that I even heard in your book, which is, do you want to be well? It's a question of wellness. And so in you going through this journey and this life pilgrimage of finding how to be well, you decided to culminate all of that into a book of meditations for racial healing. What is the relationship between meditations and dismantling racism and racial healing?
Well, I think the main word here is the introspection. You know, that we have set this whole process up in our culture to be that you go out and fight racism and then you come back home. Well, I think that you go internal to into yourself, into your inner community, your own thought processes, your own unconsciousness, and that's where the struggle against racism begins, really. It begins with coming to grips with the divisions that are inside of ourselves, because racism is a highly divisive system. And particularly, is this true for white people? White people have not come to grips with how much racism has wounded them. And I think that it's really a critical issue, that the wounding of everybody in the United States around racism has to be owned. And that means looking at the ways in which you've had experienced that wounding, what does it look like in your life, then naming that and then being willing to work on addressing it in the under the context of, do I want to be well? You know, do I want to be well? Do I want to be a whole person? You cannot be, I really believe this, you cannot be a well person if you see yourself as superior or inferior to anybody. You have to work on that. You have to do something with that, because if you hold that position about yourself, you're not going to be all that you were put on the earth to be.
Do you believe that these meditations, you know, bring up these questions? And if so, what could a reader expect? You know, meditations are usually meant to calm, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how we think of them, a woo-saw moment. Mm-hmm. We're being calm, we're being zen. But these mm-hmm. meditations seem to dig a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. What is that experience going to yeah. be like for the reader? Comfortable?
Well, I think, I hope that it's going to be highly curative. I hope that people will be willing to dig into interrogating themselves through these compassionate words, because they are compassionate, even mm-hmm. though they're strong and they may be disruptive to a point. But then that is the point, that in order for us to change, we have to become different. And we have this great propensity in our culture to want to see change, but we don't want to be different. And so we have to be willing to be different if we want things to change. And I hope these essays, these meditations will prompt people to think about that, to think about that is the necessity, that is something that has to happen. And then to offer a bit of a, not a prescription, but a bit of a pathway, a bit of a design that you can ask these questions, you can follow this conversation, you can engage this way, so that they're not just left with, well, you need to make some changes, but then how do you need to do it? We're real good at telling people what they need to do without telling them how they might begin to try to do it. Uh-huh. And so I think it's important to talk about how you might try to do it. So I think, getting together with other people and talking about the content of this book would be helpful, or journaling with the book, you know, or just sitting somewhere quietly and reading it and thinking deeply about what does that meditation have to do with you? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're reading a meditation like More Than an Ally, which is about looking for a real fellow pilgrim to be on the journey with you rather than an ally who can come and go as they wish. If you're sitting somewhere reading that, think about that. Think about, do you want to be an ally with people in the struggle for dismantling racism? Or do you want to be a fellow pilgrim where you are signing on to be there for the long haul and not just till, you know, not just for a few minutes, or not, you know, not joining in a protest. And then when the protest is over, you go home and you're done. But the people who are living under the oppressed, the people of color, can't be done because they carry themselves home. But if you're white, or you can say, well, I'm going to go join the rally. But then when the rally's over, you can go back home. That's allyship. You know, you can choose. But if you step into this and want to be on this journey with people of color as a pilgrim, you don't go back home and find comfort in being out of the fray. You go back home changed. You go back home standing in solidarity with folks and suffering with them. And there's a huge difference between ally, being an ally, and being a pilgrim, a fellow pilgrim. So if you read that essay, that meditation, you would sit with it and think about it and ponder where you want to be. And that to me becomes the meditative part of it, you know, the listening, the trying to see, well, what does it have to do with you? I think that's always the good question to be asking.
Yeah. You know, as you're describing this, and thank you for, you know, giving us a sneak peek into one of the chapters, right? Thank you. But as you're describing this, I'm thinking about the title. The title is very powerful. It's "The Night is Long, but Light Comes in the Morning." And mm-hmm. as you were describing, you know, the experience of just sitting with these essays and meditations, just sitting with them, that seems like a long night, you know? That seems mm-hmm. like that seems like you're going to be thinking a little bit, reflecting, thinking about your life mm-hmm. and again your experiences in the community and in the world, but then you give hope at the same time by saying, "But light comes in the morning. What mm-hmm. is the night and what is the light?
Well, those are really great questions. I think we live a lot of the night every day with the negativity, the sadness, the disruption in our culture, the homicides in our communities. They're just the drug abuse, the suicides, the all of that, the all of the things that have resulted from the traumatizing ways in which we have constructed society in general. And then we put another layer over that with white supremacy and the trauma that has come from that. So just look at how thick is the layer of negativity and night. You know, it's pretty thick. But there is that promise from the scripture that joy, weeping will endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The interesting thing is it does not say joy comes in tomorrow morning, but it comes in the morning. So it will come sometime. The night will end, is the point. And so, you know, you don't necessarily know exactly what day the light's going to come. What day is the light bulb going to go off in your head? And you will see more clearly than you've ever seen before. There's a lovely word from scripture that I really like a lot, and it's called metanoia, and it means a new way to see. And I think that we've all got to be open to having a new way to see a lot. I mean, it's not like you get a new way to see and then you're done with it. It's a constant awakening and deepening of your consciousness and getting to understand things better. That is, if you are living a life of being willing to ask questions and sit with those questions and seek answers, then that is the process you live. Now, if you decide you don't want to do any of that, you just try to become very rigidly fixed in a position and try to hold on to it. And that's not a very honest, healthy way to live your life, trying to do that, because then you shut yourself off from the possibility of light.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Meeks. One of the amazing things about this book is that the presiding bishop had a lot to say about it. But one of the things that he said was, he said, clearly this was written in the spirit of the late Howard Thurman, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, and Thich Nhat Hanh, who were spiritual advisors and friends of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That is quite impeccable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have three heavy hitters here. Howard Thurman, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, and Thich Nhat Hanh. You stand on their shoulders. What is the inspiration that you've been given to really help and lead us and invite us into a conversation of racial healing and meditations?
Well, you know, when I read the presiding bishop's words, I just was in tears, because to even have my name in the same sentence with those people was amazing to me. But I do think that I'd so appreciate his seeing the work that I do as being the similar kind of work of uncovering aspects of the soul that people have not allowed themselves to see. I don't believe that we stand a chance of getting rid of racism in the United States of America without there being a big shift internally in all of us, but especially in white people, and especially white people who need to come to grips with racism's capacity to wound everybody. Now, that's really a lot to say, because we're just so much better at trying to fix things external to us.
Right.
So we will want to build new school systems or build new transportation systems or whatever before we do the inner work. But the inner work has got to be done and will be done somewhere along the way if we're ever going to have sustainable change. So I'm just totally convinced that there's no getting around this. We keep trying. You know, look at us. We've been trying for all these years to fix this. Mm-hmm. And we're long ways away from fixing it because we keep trying using the wrong remedies and asking the wrong questions and refusing to do the right work, which is really interrogating ourselves and being honest about what we see and then bringing that honest interrogation to the table and being invited into the circle of healers is the process. But if you're trying to short circuit that, then you can read a whole bunch of books. You can go on a whole lot of pilgrimages. You can keep yourself busy and wear yourself out really and be going nowhere.
And I think, you know, that's a lot of people's stories, right? And they think they're mm-hmm. going somewhere because after all, surely they didn't, you know, go to all of these marches, all of these events and programs and get so educated on political science and this, that, and the third and history and law. And there's still mm-hmm. an issue. I think this book really does not just, you know, the inside, the pages, the readings, but also just in general, having a book of meditations that says, hey, this is where you start. You start with yourself. You cannot help the world unless you first are able to interrogate yourself. And Dr. Meeks, again, mm-hmm. you know, you've been doing this for the last 5 decades. I'm sure you've been doing this, you know, since you were a little girl, just asking yourself questions and why are these mm-hmm. things this way? And how has that benefited you in your life? You know, I heard you say that, hey, racism isn't going to be over anytime soon. And we grapple with that. Mm-hmm. But you have seen some progress, you know, in the world, but also perhaps in your life as to how you respond to the mm-hmm. racism. How have meditations mm-hmm. helped you to do that?
Chelsea, thank you for these very amazingly wonderful questions. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Arkansas. It's many people who've heard me talk know that already. We were poor. We were Black. We were told where we were supposed to be and how we were supposed to act. And I resisted that inside of myself. I resisted those messages because I thought I was supposed to be free. But I didn't actually know what freedom was, to tell you the truth. I just didn't think that that was it. You know, going to the back window to get ice cream at the Dairy Queen or to go in back doors or sit in doctor's offices that hardly had a chair for us. I didn't think I should do those things. So I would protest by not sitting down, even as a kid. So there was something in me for a very long time that resisted the notion of somebody can tell me that I should engage in being an oppressed person and find that acceptable. I always thought that I should try to see how to be somebody else, something else, something different, you know, and I wasn't even clear about all that. So these 50 years of work have brought me to absolute clarity. So I'm really clear about the necessity to never say yes to oppression in any form from anybody. And that, you know, of the traumatizing race around race that has happened to people of color causes us to want to tell each other sometimes how we're supposed to behave. And we get caught in the trap of trying to be the good designated Negro by not rocking the boat too hard. And we don't need to allow that to happen to ourselves either. We need to stand against complicity in our own selves as people of color, and we need to stand against racism that comes from white people, and white people need to look at themselves and stand against that system. And see that this is what I'm talking about here is people claiming their own power and looking at themselves and seeing what their power is and what it's made of and what are they going to do with it. You know, you're going to sit with your power and become an oppressor, or do you plan to be a liberator? And there is no space in between. You're either complicit or you're resisting.
No gray areas, huh?
I don't think so. I think when we try to create the grayness, it's a false narrative. You know, I can be a little bit for liberation. No, you can't. You're either for liberation or you're not. If you, and if you want people to be liberated, then it's for everybody, everywhere, all of the time. And if it, and if you don't, if it, if you think you can pick and choose, then you become complicit with oppression from time to time, because when you're choosing not to be a liberator, what are you choosing to be?
I love that, Dr. Meek, so much, because, you know, again, it just emphasizes why it's important to do as my granddad would say, to get it at the root, you know, to start at the root. And the root is internally with ourselves. You know, one of the things that you mentioned was, because of this clarity that you have from this introspection, you are able to see racism and call it out anywhere you see it, right? Not just with African Americans. That's one of the reasons why I love the center so much, because it doesn't just, it's for benefiting all people of color, including Asian Americans, Indigenous peoples, Latinx, African Americans. And, you know, when we again try to respond to racism just by outward action, we begin to get caught up in particular areas, you know, like and now we're only for the African Americans, and now we're only for the Latinx community. But when you do the introspective work, you're able to see it everywhere, anywhere, all the time, and you're able to call it out. And I think that is so powerful.
And you know, Chelsea, people of color have to be careful. We don't get to play both sides against the middle here. We don't get to kind of want white folks to be liberated, but we kind of wish that something would not be so good for them. We don't get to play in that arena. We, in order to be well ourselves, we have to let go of the desire for vengeance or whatever you might want to, whatever umbrella you need to put that under. We need to understand everybody's created in God's image and God loves everybody equally. And even though the system, pardon me, of racism is a white supremacist idea, God loves everybody equally, and we have to do work at doing the same. Now, we're not gonna, it's not gonna happen every day that I love everybody equally. There's some people I don't really want to love at all, but I've got to turn myself toward God and be asking for the light to shine on those places that want to be rigidly fixed against somebody. But in, but the point that I want to make is that we don't get to pick and choose. As people of color, we can't hold on to wanting to be little oppressors in our own ways. We have to let go of that in order to be completely well, and in order for the healing to happen. We're all in it, and we're all responsible, and we've all got to do our part.
Amen, Ashe, and amen to that. Thank you so much, Dr. Meeks. You know, I don't know about our listeners, but I want to be well. Even in the Bible, Christ asked the man, you know, will thou be made whole? And I hope your answer is yes. If you're listening, I hope that your answer is yes. Now, my last question for you, Dr. Meeks, is who is this book intended for? Is it intended for white folk? Is it intended for people of color, clergy, kids? Who is this book intended for?
Well, it's intended for every person who wants to be conscious and well. And we, and I've got blurbs that were written by all of the groups that are represented in terms of oppression, as well as one white person and one, let's see, there are two men. And then there's there are two African Americans, and there's a Latina woman, and a Native Indigenous woman, and a Asian woman, and then a white woman, and a Black woman, and a white man, and a Black man. So I tried to cover
everybody,
all of the areas, because I wanted to send a message that this is a book for everybody. It's not a book for Black folks or white folks or Native folks. It's for everybody, because all of us deal with these same issues. And that is the other part that we have to start being more willing to own, that we're all in this together. We're in it together. And Dr. King said, we can either learn to live like sisters and brothers, or we can perish as fools together. Mm. But whatever happens, it's going to happen to us together. So we might as well take a deep breath and sit ourselves down somewhere and say, let me see how I can be on this journey. How can I make space for light to come in the morning for me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Meeks. Well, listen, I am so looking forward to diving in to all 48 of these meditations. I'm so excited about that. Tell us how we can get more information, or how can anyone who is interested in The Night is Long but Light Comes in the Morning, Meditations on Racial Healing, if anybody wants to purchase that book, how can they get that?
It'll be online everywhere books are sold, and it's from Church Publishing, from Amazon, Target, all of those outlets will have it. If you're in Atlanta, the Cathedral Bookstore, the Cathedral of St. Philip's will have it. So it's, and I'm at the center, of course, and if you're in Atlanta or traveling through Atlanta and have it and stop by the center, and I'm there, I'll be delighted to sign it for anybody who might want to do that.
Oh, wow. Of course they would. Now, don't everybody come all at once, all right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, Dr. Meeks. Well, listen, I hope our listeners were able to truly glean from the information that you shared with us today, the wisdom that you share with us. Dr. Meeks, you know, I always tell you that, I mean, it's just like, as you speak, are you reading from a book? Like right now, you know, I mean, it's just so powerful. So thoughtful, and it really just makes us take a second look as to how, again, we respond to racism, and the path we take to dismantling it actually leads to looking inward. Wow, that's a word.
Yes, and yes, and thank you, Chelsea, for your very thoughtful questions.
You make it easy for me, Dr. Meeks. You make it easy. Well, we have come to the end of this podcast episode. Make sure that you stay connected with us at thecenterforracialhealing.org, or you can visit us online on our website or on our social media. Our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you can type in Center for Racial Healing and everything will pop up from there, including our upcoming programs, the release for Dr. Meeks' book, The Night is Long but Light Comes in the Morning, and much, much more. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back and see you soon. And until next time, remember to always tell the truth. Bye-bye.